Epilogue. The WHLM news team won a Pulitzer Prize for their coverage of what they called Dawes' Last Stand on the evening news, and for a half-hour documentary presented 3 weeks later. The documentary was called Road Work, and it examined the necessity, or lack of it, for the 784 extension. The documentary pointed out that one reason the road was being built had nothing to do with traffic patterns or commuter convenience or anything else of such a practical sort. The municipality had to build so many miles of road per year or begin losing federal money on all interstate construction, and so the city had chosen to build. The documentary also pointed out that the city was quietly beginning a litigation suit against the widow of Barton George Dawes to recover as much of their money as was recoverable. In the wake of the outcry, the city dropped its suit. Still photographs of the wreckage ran on the AP wire, and most of the newspapers in the country carried them. In Las Vegas, a young girl who had only recently enrolled in a business school saw the photographs while on her lunch hour and fainted. Despite the pictures and the words, the extension went ahead and was completed 18 months later, ahead of schedule. By that time, most of the people in the city had forgotten the roadwork documentary, and the city's news force, including Pulitzer winner David Albert, had gone on to other stories and crusades. But few people who had been watching the original news clip broadcast on the evening news ever forgot that. They remembered, even after the facts surrounding it grew blurry in their minds. That news clip showed a plain white suburban house, sort of a ranch house with an asphalt driveway to the right leading to a one-car garage. A nice-looking house, but totally ordinary. Not a house you'd crane to look at if you happened to be on a Sunday drive. But in the news footage, the picture window is shattered. Two guns, a rifle, and a pistol come flying out of it to lie in the snow. For 1 second, you see the hand that has flung them, the fingers held limply up like the hand of a drowning man. You see white smoke blowing around the house, mace or tear gas or something. And then there is a huge belch of orange flame, and all the walls of the house seem to bulge out in an impossible cartoon convexity, and there is a huge detonation, and the camera shakes a little as if in horror. Peripherally, the viewer is aware that the garage has been destroyed in a single ripping blast. For a second, it seems, and slow-motion replays prove that the eye's split-second impression is correct, that the roof of the house has lifted off its eaves like a Saturn rocket. Then the entire house blows outward and upward, shingles flying, hunks of wood lofted into the air and then returning to earth, something that looks like a quilt twisting lazily in the air like a magic carpet as debris rattled to the ground in a thudding contrapuntal drum roll. There is stillness. Then the shocked, tear-streaming face of Mary Dawes fills the screen. She is looking with drugged and horrified bewilderment at the forest of microphones being thrust into her face, and we have been brought safely back to human things once more.